Blog Talk Radio.
Coming to you since 1997 on KKUP Radio with over 250 guests and still going strong in their 12th year of weekly broadcasting, the International Taz and Paula Show brings to you expansive, engaging, and groundbreaking intensity on radio and now on the internet airwaves today. Listen live every Thursday or visit Embracing Mother Earth's archives, exclusive articles, ask questions, and receive actual answers from guests anytime at TazandPaulaShow.com. Taz and Paula's special guests are experts coming from all walks of life, energizing our lives with a passion that inspires and teaches us with each of their compelling personal life journeys, with roots from ancient wisdom and bridging it with modern science. We hope today's show touches the wisdom of your heart. And now, Taz and Paula.
Our guest, Tom T. Moore, also sometimes known as the Angel Man, is one of our most favorite guests. He shares with all of us about MBOs, which is most benevolent outcomes, and says this spiritual tool will increase our awareness and will raise our own vibrational level. You are now listening to the International Taz and Paula Show, and I'm Paula.
And I'm Taz. And first of all, Tom T. Moore, thank you for bringing a guardian angel technique we all can use for the rest of our lives. You now have thousands of people all around the world requesting most benevolent outcomes in their lives. And today we hope you'll discuss how you communicate with your own guardian angel and Gaia, the soul of the earth. And Tom says, with just a little bit of work, we can do the same.
That's true. Thanks for having me, Paula and Taz.
Well, Tom brings us a keen knowledge of how requesting most benevolent outcomes can be used in both business affairs and one's personal life, and relates many personal stories regarding these requests. He says that in requesting benevolent outcomes for over the past 10 years, it has resulted in him leading a gentler, less stressful, and less fearful life, the gentle way. We welcome you back. We've had so much fun with you in the past interviews, and you bring such a beautiful guest, a beautiful gift to all our listeners. Now, Tom, my question is, when did you first start doing the benevolent outcomes with your angels?
I'm sorry?
When was did you start doing the benevolent the most benevolent outcomes?
Yes, requesting MBOs or most benevolent
MBOs.
Outcomes. About 14 years ago, I began experimenting with it and found that it worked absolutely perfectly on the smaller stuff, you know, like a parking a spot in front of a busy restaurant or at the post office or something like that. And I gradually expanded it to all my personal affairs and my business, and it works perfectly. As I said, it was one of those things that I'm one of these people that's always out there trying to experiment with new things, and this one worked. So there you go. And it just kind of grew from there, and now with my newsletters and blogs, it does go all over the world, and I get these amazing stories from people everywhere you can imagine, Australia and Europe and so on. So it's quite enjoyable. I never know what my emails are going to have the next day, and I can give you a couple of examples if you'd like.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, well, I just wanted to share with you that Taz and I did an MBO before the show, so that make our show the most benevolent show that today. So we practiced
I requested a MBO that the results of this show will be even better than we can hope for or expect.
I like that part of it.
Yeah, you never know.
Go ahead and share some stories that you've gotten from your readers. And
sure. I received this one in the last a couple of weeks from a lady in Seattle, and it was one of the best stories that I've read, because I have put it in my first book. I did mention that you could use request MBOs in dangerous situations, but obviously most of the stories I receive, people are not in life or death situations, and this one was. A lady up in Seattle emailed to say that she and her boyfriend, and they have a roommate, they were starting to watch a program on a brand new TV that the roommate had just set up for her, and he had gone to another part of the house. And I have a feeling that probably the big box for the TV was sitting in the alley, and somebody decided that, oh, well, we want a new TV. And so they heard, she and her boyfriend heard this loud crash on the downstairs door, and this is an oak door. And so they ran down to the basement to see what, what was happening. And the door burst in, and there were two ski masks guys there that pistol whipped her boyfriend and made him lay it down on the floor, and they kicked her in the head when she looked at him. And so she immediately said, requested a MBO for the situation. And in the meantime, she didn't know this, but their roommate had heard all this commotion and had run out the back door, only dressed in his underwear and socks, and ran through a gate with some bells on it. And he had a couple of knives with him to protect himself. And he tried going next door, and nobody, needless to say, would let him in because he looked like a crazy person. And But 60 seconds later, these two ski mask guys suddenly left, and he saw them left, and so they saw them leave, and so he came back, and they called the police, and they had about 20 police officers over there, and the only thing the guys got was an empty billfold with an ID was the only thing that was in the billfold. So she felt that was really an amazing benevolent outcome for it to only last 60 seconds, and nothing else was taken.
Wow, that is good. If that reminds me of, can I share a story with you about my own experience?
Sure.
I was taking my dog for a walk, and all of a sudden I saw these two dogs. One looked like it was half pit bull. And the one started running around me, or was going to get my dog. So I picked my dog up, because it's a small little dog, because I didn't want him to get chewed up by this big dog. And it kept running around me and then lunging at me. And I immediately did an MBO. And then I yelled, and there's a neighbor that was just getting in his pickup, and he ran over, picked up a stick and ran over. And so I felt like the MBO had helped me have a neighbor there to help me.
Absolutely.
So
there, another a story I'll give to your listeners. A lady emailed me the other day and said that when she was in the bathtub, as she was about to climb out, she fell. And as she was falling, she immediately thought to, and I think this was more thinking on, she thought to say, "Guardian angels, help me." And she believed that that statement kept her from really wrecking her knee. And so she fell, and so she was she requested a MBO when she was going to the hospital. She had to go have it taken care of, taken a look at. And it turned out that they gave her some pain pills, and she had not broken her knee or anything. So she was quite happy that the injury was something that she could deal with, and has gotten steadily better since the injury. So since the fall. So that's, you know, when you start requesting benevolent outcomes on a steady basis, it's like this stuff comes up immediately in your mind when you need it, you know, whether it be a home invasion or a fall or what have you, that it just, because if you make it a habit, and the habit comes by requesting the little things, those parking spaces or a seat on the train, the BART train or a bus or something like that. If you do it for the small stuff, then you'll find that you'll remember to do it for the big stuff. And that's very, very important.
It'll flow out of your mouth automatically.
It will do that.
Yeah. Tom, how does this simple yet very powerful spiritual tool work to increase our awareness and raise our own vibrational rate?
Well, I wasn't aware that it did that. You have to understand, when I started out, this was just a neat tool that I found I could use, and I was so happy that it worked, and it was just amazing the way it worked. And so, you know, I was just a happy guy using it, as I say, both in my personal and business lives. But later I was to be told by my own guardian angel that set me on a path, one, that when you start requesting benevolent outcomes, it keeps you on your soul path or soul contract, as my guardian angel Theo calls it. And this is good, because that soul contract or that soul path is something that you decided to do before birth. So in other words, that soul path and contract was something that was going to give you the most challenges and the most learning and the most successes and everything in your life. And the thing is, because we're in a free choice world, we can choose to get off that path and go on another one. But requesting MBOs, one, keeps you on that path, which means the highest learning and the highest experiences that you can possibly get in this life. And then two, it does start raising your vibrational rate, because you become more aware, you start seeing things from a quantum perspective in a way as to how things come together when you request these MBOs. And it's amazing. So you are becoming aware, and it's Theo says it's the very first big step that you can take to become junior creators in training. He says you can read all of the articles and listen to all the talks and everything, you know, in the metaphysical world and all this other stuff. But until you start implementing it, then you don't take that next big step. And MBOs is absolutely the most simple way that you can take that big step to start co-creating with spirit.
Mm-hmm. Now, people might not know who Theo is, so you might want to describe who Theo is.
Okay. Theo is in my belief system, is my guardian angel. Now, keep in mind, before I kind of get into him, I will mention that if you notice that when you say, I request a most benevolent outcome for blank, blank, thank you, you're not addressing any particular deity, entity, or whatever. In your belief system, if you want to believe it's your guardian angel, great, as I do, fine, or you want to believe it's Jesus or God or Allah or Creator or the Buddha or a Hindu entity or deity of some type, then that's fine, because it works no matter what your belief system is. So that's one of the reasons why I think I was inspired to request it in this manner, if you will, so that everybody from all religious beliefs can say these and it will work. Okay. So with that, in my belief system, I believe it's my guardian angel, because I talk to him in what I call my active meditations all the time. And another question that I get all the time is, how can I get the name of my guardian angel? Well, I had the very same question, and so I asked my guardian angel, what is your name or what name shall I call you? And he said, Tom, he said, you can't pronounce my angelic name. He said, we're not really big on names over here, so you can call me Tom, Dick, or Harry, but Tom might be a little hard for you in your meditations. Tom said this, and, you know, Tom asked that. So he was joking with me a little bit. And so I thought about it for a while, and it just came kind of out of the blue. I decided to call him Theo. And that's just how it happened, that if you want to know what name you'll feel comfortable with your guardian angel, just say out loud, guardian angel, what name shall I call you? Now, you might receive the answer in a second, or it might be that you're trying too hard, and you'll be thinking about something else, and suddenly, bang, up comes the name, and you say, oh, I like that name. And it'll be a name that your guardian angel knows that you'll enjoy saying, okay? So
well,
that's
what came first, the MBOs or your guardian angel? I mean,
oh, definitely the MBOs. I didn't start communicating with, quote, spirit until about 2005. So, and I started requesting MBOs 14 years ago. So you see, it was quite some time. And I never thought I would be able to communicate with spirit. You know, I saw people doing that, you know, full trance channels and all this other stuff. And I never thought I'd be able to do that. But one of the things that happens when you get on that path and your awareness starts increasing and your vibrational level starts increasing, you get to a point where you can communicate. And for some people, it'll be real fast. For other people like me, maybe it'll be a little bit slower. But it can happen. And even in my workshops, I take people down to an alternate state, and I let them experience how to ask questions of your own guardian angel or whoever you wish to speak to. Because maybe some people, you know, want to speak to Aunt Biddy, you know, that's passed away or something. I recommend your guardian angel, because your guardian angel is your best friend. And your guardian angel is taking care of you in every single life you will live on earth. And your guardian angel is doing it all at the same time. So if you have 800 lives on earth, they're all going on at the same time. And your guardian angel is taking care of you and thousands of other souls all at the same time in all of those different time periods, because time is an illusion to us.
Now, you wrote the book, The Gentle Way. How did that all come about?
Well, it came about because of the first time that I ever communicated. I went to Sedona with my wife to a Dick Sutphen, Sutphen, seminar on increasing your psychic ability. And I'd been to his seminars before, but my wife had never taken part. And so I thought, oh, well, I'll go along with her. I probably can't get anything out of this, but I'll go along. And so during the time we were there, we were going to have a day in which there was going to be automatic writing. Well, I had been told through a trance channel that my sole contract was not to assist this trance channel, whose name is Robert Shapiro and has written many books, and I thought that was very strange. And so I decided to ask the Indian shaman that he had channeled for me, whose name was, in English, Reveals the Mysteries. And so when Richard put us under into the altered state, instead of trying to do automatic writing, I said, Reveals the Mysteries, are you there? And he said, yes, I am, Tom. And I said, ooh, wow, this is great. And so then I said, okay, why am I the only guy pushing benevolent outcomes, it seems? And because I've been writing some articles in the Sedona Journal of Emergence and things like that. And he said, you're a shaman at the same time living I am, and your name is Stillwater, and you've decided to reincarnate into the 20th and 21st centuries to reintroduce people to the gentle way. And he gave me the name of the book the first time I ever talked to him. And then later I would expand and I would start speaking to my own guardian angel.
Oh, that was wonderful.
Yeah.
And now the shaman was living in the 1600s. He has now passed away. One day he informed me that he had passed, and he had become one of my guides. So so even though his life is in a way still going on in the 1600s, on his time period, he transitioned. So that's the way that works.
Well, what's the difference between MBOs and benevolent prayers for other people?
Right. Good. Glad you asked. Benevolent prayers are what you say for other people, and that, and you say it a little differently because you're actually addressing a whole set of angels that have volunteered to handle all of the prayers that people say in the world. And there's supposedly a little over 1 million whole souls that we call angels, and keep in mind, When I say whole souls, a whole soul has tremendous abilities that are far beyond our third-dimensional understanding. But even in there are differences between whole souls because my guardian angel is a whole soul, but he's called a golden light being because of the experience and knowledge he has, and only golden light beings are our guardian angels. So this other set of angels are not as experienced, but he says they're eager. And so they handle all of our prayers. So when you want to say something for someone else, as an example, a little bit earlier I was watching CNN about Libya, and so I said a benevolent prayer for the people in Libya. I said, I ask any and all beings to come to the aid and assistance of the people in Libya to keep them safe and in a most benevolent manner possible. So, and thank you. And so that's something that you can say. And in my newsletters each week, I have at least one or two benevolent prayers for everyone that reads my newsletter to say out loud. And Theo says when everyone says these out loud over a 24, 48-hour period as people read my newsletter, it's like a crescendo effect, and it creates this energy that is much more powerful. He said the sum is greater than the parts. So when we say these benevolent prayers together, then they take on a great energy, and amazing things can happen. So that's a benevolent prayer.
So it's more powerful if you say it out loud than if you think it?
Yes. Excuse me. pardon me just a second.
Sure.
Oh. Gosh. Got a frog in my throat. They're much more powerful said together. And again, this is part of our junior creator in training. Sorry, folks. Suddenly, the air is very dry in Dallas. We have not had any rain for the past month.
Oh, my gosh.
We've had all your rain in California.
Yes, I've been reading about it.
So now, when someone asks for a most benevolent outcome, and how does that prayer ask so people can know? When you ask
okay.
yourself.
Are we talking about benevolent prayer still?
Yes,
Oh, okay. Okay, keep in mind, in my first book, I called them living prayers. And if you were to look at the chapter on living prayers, there were many different ways that you could say a living prayer. I thought about it and thought about it and obviously had some little inspiration from Theo and my guides. And so for my second book, I have changed it to where you say a benevolent prayer, and I started calling them benevolent prayers instead of living prayers, in order to show the relationship between the two, okay? One is most benevolent outcomes are specifically for you, and benevolent prayers are for other people, but they're related, the way I look at it. And so I came up with a way, just the same as you say an MBO request, that you can say a benevolent prayer so you don't have to think about it. And that's one of the major problems when people get into prayers, is trying to think of the words to say. So you start off with saying, I ask any and all beings. And from there, it's pretty easy to formulate the sentence prayer that you wish to say. And again, you're asking any and all beings. So as an example, in Libya, it's, you know, when I was asking that all beings be kept safe, I mean, that could be dogs and people and cats and goats and, you know, whatever, that they're all beings. So you're including everyone. And also, let's just take the Japanese earthquake. I'm getting the word from Gaia that there's going to be another major earthquake and tsunami. So if that happens, then you can say, I ask that any and all beings come to the aid and assistance of anyone affected by these earthquakes and the tsunami to assist in finding and rescuing them and bringing them to safety, something in that order. You can change it every day if you wish. Thank you.
And be sure to say thank you at the end of each prayer, right?
I always say thank you. And again, if you wish to believe that this is not just going to some angels, that it's going to whoever you believe it's going to, that's fine, because it works. It's just, this is how I've been told that the mechanics of it work. And it doesn't matter. I mean, you can keep it simple and believe what you want to, or you can really get deep into it. And the deeper you get into it, it's like Theo says, this world is much more complex than you can ever imagine, Tom. That's
so basically, just remembering to ask, because sometimes people don't ask. They just kind of stand there and they're immobilized by the situation. So again, being able to just say, hey, I really need some help, any and all beings, you know.
Right.
Come to my aid, or come to their aid, or go to their aid. So,
and it gets rid of a lot of fear. I mean, as an example, a lot of people on the West Coast, where you are worried about the Japanese nuclear reactors somehow the radiation escaping high enough into the atmosphere that it's going to come across and affect them. And mm-hmm. And I've been told, Gaia says, that's not going to happen, and do not, you know, be concerned about the Japanese reactors. So, again, you can request, I request the most benevolent outcome, that I will have no effects from any radiation released anywhere. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll take care of you, because, after all, there will come a day where California, whether it be San Francisco or L.A. or maybe everybody, are going to have a major earthquake like Japan. And there are nuclear reactors, as you well know, on the coastline.
Now, we could do a prayer to help them be able to stop the reactors and do so that the radiation is not coming out any.
Exactly.
So we could do a prayer for that.
Oh, yeah. There are just innumerable prayers that you can think of. This is not, you know, this is not rocket scientists. This is just you coming up with your own prayer Or if you're in a group, you can say, everyone, would you please say this prayer along with me? Because keep in mind, when you say it out loud, you're creating this energy. That's the only problem that I see about churches, is that someone will get up and say a prayer and everyone will listen to it, but they're not saying it along with that person. And so there's not the energy that is created when the prayer is said out loud.
I know some churches have music and they practically sing their prayers, and I can just feel the energy coming off of that.
Uh-huh.
Now, do you do a benevolent prayer every morning?
I do one every morning, and it's one that I was inspired to do after I had congestive heart failure and was told by Theo that I was balancing out a life where I had, in a war, killed some other soldiers and all, and even though it was a war, I brought grief and heartache to their families, and so I decided to experience heartache on a physical level in this life. And so I started thinking about it, and I was inspired to come up with a benevolent prayer that I say every morning. And if you go to my website at www.thegentlewaybook.com and click on signs, you can find the prayer, and you can also find the explanation that Theo gave me for saying it. And each morning I'll say, I ask any and all beings to come to the aid and comfort of anyone that I've ever harmed, either physically, mentally, morally, spiritually, or emotionally, in any past, present, or future life. And I ask that any and all beings come to the aid and comfort of the families and friends of anyone that I've ever harmed in any way, in any past, present, or future life. And Theo says that I really should say that every morning. And he says you won't be able to see it, obviously, in this life, but it affects every other life that you're living on earth when you say that prayer every morning. So you just have to go with that one on trust. And Theo's been real straight with me for a long, long time now. And so I say that prayer and encourage anyone else to go to the website, print it out, and put it on by your bathroom mirror. That's normally, I'll say it just before I shave in the morning. And there you go.
So it sounds to me like we're living parallel lives, the way you're talking. Is that true?
Well, we're not only living. See, you're talking about parallel lives as being other completely separate lives, okay? And,
mm-hmm.
and so, one, Theo has told me that everybody on earth are all the souls, or soul fragments, I should say. And he says each soul has created sort of a soul cluster of 6 to 12 fragments on average. So every fragment will have 600 to 800 lives. And I said, well, but that's a big gap between the two. Why such a variation? And he says, every soul has its own interests. And one soul may want to get everything done with quickly, get all the earth experiences that you're supposed to get before you finish all your earth lives, get it done as fast as possible. So they do it in 600 lives, and of course, in those 600 lives, they're having everything happen to them at a really, you know, like drama queens almost. Everything seems to be happening to them all the time. And then you'll have other souls that say, hey, I'll take it a little slower, and they have 800 lives, and they take things a little easier. So you have all those lives going on at the same time, I'm told. But at the same time, each one of those lives there are 11 parallel lives going on at the same time, and they're called timelines. And we're on timeline number 6, so we're in the middle of the pack. So there are timelines below us that are lower in frequency, and those parts of us are having more difficult lives, and there are parts of us on a higher frequency and they're having easier lives because they're at a higher frequency and things go easier for them. So that's a parallel life, and then you have past and future lives.
So are we connecting with any of those lives throughout the day?
More in dream time. And that could be a whole show. I've been covering dream time in my newsletter, and I've had two parts of it, I think, so far. And I can't remember if I have another part or we're at the end. And it really gets deep, because then you have a whole another set of angels that helps us in dream time. And we travel on a tone, as it's called, across the universe. And we may be helping solve problems for other societies all over the universe. So we go wherever we're needed, or we go to classrooms to learn things, or you're in a quantum state. So maybe something from one life will enter the dream, and you'll take something from another life. And it would be kind of confusing, but not at a quantum level is the best way I could describe it.
Well, I work with a group of people, and we work with each other's dreams.
Yep.
And the dream seems to relate to things that are going on in our time now. So is the dream connecting us to our experiences here and now with the experiences in future and past lives?
Well, you have to understand, those are the dreams that you're allowed to remember, okay? Theo says there are dreams that you're not allowed to remember because you couldn't even make head nor tail of them. They are so far out there. Okay, so that's number one. Number two, you know, typically maybe most people will only remember one or two dreams in a night. I've been recording my dreams every single morning since 1979, and the most number of dreams that I've been able to recall at one time are nine. But most of the time, I'm like everyone else. I'm remembering one, two, three dreams. And they'll pertain maybe to my work, to something that's coming up in my work, or a personal life, whatever it happens to be. It will vary according to what's going to happen. And sometimes you're having, if you record in a dream journal, you will find sometimes you're dreaming things that are going to happen a year or 2 years in advance.
Oh, okay.
So it's good to keep a dream journal and have a pen light and a notebook at your bedside to record the dreams. And I found, since I started doing that in 79, one, it kept me from going on a trip. My wife and I were in the travel business at that time, and we owned a wholesale tour company. We were supposed to be going to a World Congress of Travel Agents in Manila, and I had a dream about an explosion and a woman and some men, and it was so vivid that we canceled the trip to Manila and added on days to Taiwan and Hong Kong. And sure enough, on the first day of the event, terrorists exploded a bomb in the main hall near the front where I like to sit. And after that, and it turned out it was a woman from the L.A. tourist office for the Philippines or something like that, and four men, and that were arrested. So after that, I said, I'm going to record my dreams every single day the rest of my life, which I've tried to do. I have books and books, if you can imagine. And I dreamed, like before 9/11, I had three dreams. They were symbolic, but you could tell after it happened why I was dreaming them. One, I dreamed about a jet airliner crashing near Chicago, and another one I dreamed about a biplane crashing, which is symbolic of two planes, and the third one I dreamed was a real weird one of a tornado going past me and going across the face of an office building with a line of people suspended in air like they were sitting on invisible seats following behind it. And when I have a tornado dream, that's always something not good is going to happen.
I know I had quite a few dreams about Egypt just before everything started happening in Egypt.
Right. Yeah, I think I did too, but not too many, but one or two. So, your dreams can really guide you, and it's good to go back and read maybe a month or two back and just go read through them, and because the physical reading through them, Theo tells me, is good because it helps solidify the message or messages that you're receiving through your dreams.
And sometimes you'll write them down and you forget about them, and you go back a year ago and you go, oh, wow, I dreamt that.
Yes.
You can see how it worked into your life.
Yes.
You said that quite a few of your readers have been asking you about if the earthquakes have been caused by HAARP, the machine from Alaska, or the Illuminati.
Right. Exactly.
What does Theo say about that?
Well, Gaia says the earthquakes are happening because our souls are allowing it, okay? In other words, our souls have to have the experience in one or more lives of being in an earthquake, being in a disaster like that. And we have to have that as part of the earth experience, the earth school, because the earth has many things to teach us. And so that's, that's how that happens. And our souls in Japan, and I had a message just the day before the big quake where I was asking Gaia, because there had been a 7.2 offshore, and I said, is that it? And she said, no, that there's going to be, more coming, major, and the souls of Japan have approved this to happen. So that was a real key to me, because I had been originally told that Japan was going to quake last the end of August, the 1st of September, and it didn't, and I didn't understand that. And then again, I was told that the West Coast was going to quake the week after Christmas, and it didn't happen. And I finally understood that our souls have to give the approval before Gaia does the big moves. And she says that there's going to be this a major earthquake. It's not going to be quite as large as the 9.0, but it's going to be quite large, and there's going to be another tsunami. It will not be as large as the last tsunami, but it will be significant, is the way she termed it. So that's what I've been told.
Well, some of the souls in Japan also experienced, the bombing. So they've experienced two things, and to me that's just so overwhelming.
Well, of course, most of the people that experience that live farther to the south, I think. But it is a little strange they seem to have nuclear events in Japan, and I'm sure if I delved into that really deeply, I could maybe get some kind of explanation, but I haven't. So.
Go ahead.
On your website, Tom, you have something whereby someone has come up with the idea for MBO cards. Do you want to tell us about that?
Sure. That's a neat little thing that, and And also we have bumper stickers too. And these were developed by subscribers to my newsletter, and one of them has come up with a card that you can give to people. It's just like giving out a business card, and on it it will say, "I request a most benevolent outcome for," to help people get started on it, and it refers people to the website so they can read more about it. On the website, I will mention that. And this is www.thegentlewaybook.com. You can read blogs with all these MBO stories that I relate, but I get so many on a weekly basis. It's from all over the world. They're just amazing. But you can click on store, and you'll find these wallet cards. And you'll also find the bumper stickers. So I recommend, if that's one way to go, you can also read a couple of sample chapters of the first book that will get you started, excuse me, on requesting benevolent outcomes. So there's a wealth of resources. All of my newsletters are archived on the website. You can start at the newest one and work your way backwards, or start at the oldest one and work your way forwards, whichever way you wish, or start in the middle, as I suggested to someone else. Let your fingers be guided to perhaps a newsletter that will have some information that you need to know when you suddenly click on it. So it's like pulling out a card out of a tarot deck or a prediction deck and finding out what it says.
Well, if somebody wants to be on your newsletter, they can just go on your website and request to be on your mailing list?
Yes. The sign-up box is on the very first page, on the right-hand side, down in sort of the middle or towards the bottom. And you just put your name and email address, and you'll start receiving them every Friday. My blogs that I do, that you also can read by clicking on the little icon blog icon on the first homepage. Those blogs I normally post on Saturdays.
Now, you also have a brand new book out. You know, tell us about your new book.
Yes. It's called The Gentle Weight Book 2, The Story Continues. And it is filled with absolutely nothing but MBO story after MBO story almost. I do sprinkle in a couple of other chapters on interesting things that I've come across. But it does have all these stories, and I received so many stories that I was able to categorize them or combine them into specific chapters, a la like driving or running around town, or hospital, or medical, or just innumerable kind of chapters for people to go to if they're kind of stuck. Oh well, I'm not sure how I should say this. Request this MBO. They can read the chapter on the subject they're interested in and pick up ideas from there, because people are requesting MBOs for things that I never thought to request, and it works for them, you know. So it's something that I started, and it's gone beyond anything that I had imagined so far. Although I can see it's really continuing to grow larger and larger.
Go ahead. I was going to say, I used one of your MBOs when I was traveling on the plane, and I asked to sit by somebody interesting, and I sat by a psychic artist.
Ah, very good.
So I said, "Thank you, Tom."
Yep, that's it's worked for me, sitting next to interesting people on the plane, and that was something else. Someone emailed me, and I'd never thought to request an MBO to sit next to somebody interesting. And on the other hand, if you want to sleep or you've got to study or you've got to work on a paper or something like that on board, you can request an MBO to sit next to somebody that will not bother you. So, or not want to talk. So that's something else you can do. So it has a wide variety of uses. I just received an email, in the last week or so, from a lady whose 12-year-old daughter had, they were going to try out for this big soccer, it's called soccer tryouts, along with hundreds of other kids. And her daughter was crying. She was saying nobody was going to want to choose her. There were too many kids. She had a stomach ache. Her eyes stung. You know, she was using about every thing she could think of to get out of getting out of the car. And so her mother told her, "I want you to request a benevolent outcome for your tryout." So she did, and she reluctantly got out of the car. Well, lo and behold, after the tryout, one of the coaches came up to her and said, "Gosh, your daughter is really just what I'm looking for. That she has the maturity," and just went on and on about her. And so they had a second tryout, and of course, he came to her and said, "I want your daughter on my team." And so that happened. And then the next thing that happened, her daughter, you know, seeing maybe a little success in requesting the benevolent outcome for the soccer practice, requested a benevolent outcome to win Lady Gaga tickets from the radio station, and she won them.
Oh, wow, that would make a believer out of her.
Right. And then the other winner email that I received recently, a lady by the name of Mary Lou, she wrote to me, and she said that she had to tell me that she had won the jackpot at bingo 2 weeks ago, and it was $7,000. And she took out $2,100 for taxes and put that in the bank. And her husband said, "I told you you would get it." And she said, "I had asked for an MBO." So she says, "Keep up the good work."
Oh, my gosh.
If we were too many people requesting MBOs at the bingo game, that might be a problem.
Yeah, but typically there aren't, so that's the neat thing. Because someone else wrote to me to say that they had won like $800 and then another one for $300, and they were noticing, so she told her friends about it, and they all started requesting MBOs, and one of them, I think, won then too. So it starts spreading around. People start looking, how is this person so lucky? And I told in my first book how I was on a cruise with my family, and I won half of an $8,400 bingo pot on the last day of the cruise. So it does work.
That took care of your cruise. Well, this is really great. First of all, just let people know again, your website is thegentlewaybook.com. And
yes,
you've got to take a look at that. It's just such a great website, and sharing all people's stories and Tom's newsletters and everything. And so
I know, I'm sure to request a newsletter, because I look forward to my newsletter every week.
Yeah.
Well, as I put on the newsletter, it gives you a different perspective. That's what I tell people. You may not agree. You may say, "Well, I don't feel right with what Tom's saying or what he's received or whatever it happens to be in the newsletter," but at least it gets you thinking about it, and it gives you a way to look at something from a different angle. So that's what I try and do for people.
Yeah, that's really great. Not only that, but you have blogs there, so people can communicate with each other, and that's really nice. And it's a good way. Just you know, to have less fear in your life, less stress, and more success. You know, it just, believe it or not, they work. So just being able to use them and start and ask. And I guess the secret is remember to ask, right?
Remember to ask and ask for the small stuff. Don't think that your guardian angel is too busy to take care of you. Your guardian angel could handle 2 million parking spot requests all at the same time and not break a sweat. That's a 3D analogy for you.
Yeah, and it's good practice to start out with the small things.
Yes, because when you start requesting a most benevolent outcome for the perfect home or the perfect job or the perfect mate, those take longer, and it may take it could take months or it could take a year or two. So you have to be trust in the process and know that it's going to happen, just not particularly on maybe the timeline that you would like.
Yeah, because the perfect person or perfect home may not be ready yet.
That's true, and there may be somebody in that perfect job, and you have to wait for them to get promoted or to find another job before you get it, or perhaps you need one more job in the meantime for you to get the experience that will allow you to apply for that perfect job.
Good words
again,
there.
Good. We want everyone to know that we've been talking to Tom Moore, and his website is www.thegentlewaybook.com, and there's all kinds of things to read there. And it's he's got a newsletter, articles. It's just a wonderful website.
So, Tom, do you have any last messages for our listeners?
Well, tune in and take a look at my newsletter tomorrow. Perhaps if you get a chance, sign up for the newsletter today so it'll be in your email box tomorrow. If not, I generally have my webmaster will normally post them 2 to 3 hours after they go out in the email, and check it out and see if this is something that can work. You can work into in your life. You have to experiment with this stuff yourself, because I can tell you all day long, and Paula and Taz can tell you all day long that MBOs work. But until you actually start requesting these yourself and seeing the successes and the results yourself, you won't know, because it's called knowledge and experience, and you have to experience it in order to have knowledge.
And you have to ask. You have to remember
you have
to ask.
They're not allowed to assist you until you ask, and then they are joyfully happy that you're asking for the assistance, and they will bend over backwards, to use our terminology, to assist you in things that you never thought that you could possibly have or get. So there you go.
Yeah, I can see the guardian angels flying about.
let it become a habit.
A habit.
A wonderful habit. Thank you, Tom, for being with us. We just love having you on and sharing this beautiful gift of magic, so that people can be able to easily add it to what they do throughout the day.
Well, thank you. And I enjoy being on your program. I really, truly do. It's fun. And I wish everyone in the San Francisco area that you reach out to have a great and most benevolent day and week.
Well, thank you so much. And
thank you.
We know you will.
Yeah.
Okay.
Take care.
Have a great day. Bye-bye.